on shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet. This is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh, no!
Well, it's now time for another edition of the International Happy Station. I'm Keith Perrone. It's really nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes. We have a jam-packed show again, as well as some wonderful music. And, of course, I want to say about our website first off, www.pcjmedia.com. We've added quite a few new things in the last week. That's www.pcjmedia.com. And if you're on Facebook, do feel free to add me as one of your friends. Just do a search for Keith, K-E-I-T-H. That's K-E-I-T-H, Perron, P-E-R-R-O-N. And add me as one of your friends. And also look for the PCJ Media fan book page on Facebook. We're getting new members all the time. I posted a picture this week on my Facebook page, and if you add me, you can go take a look at it, because we had a rather strong earthquake earlier this week. Yeah, a rather strong earthquake at about 10:59 in the morning local time. It was a 6.6 on the Richter scale. Now, the earthquake didn't happen here in Taipei. It happened in another city called Datong, actually closer to Lanyu in Datong. And it was rather interesting because, we, as I mentioned before in the show, we get earthquakes quite frequently here in Taiwan. We sit on almost the same fault as Japan does, part of the Ring of Fire, which goes from the Pacific coast of North America to this part of the world. But this earthquake was a little different. At home, I have a light, and this is the only way I can describe it to you. I have this light, which is mounted on the wall. Now, normally when we get earthquakes, this light kind of swings back and forth a little. But this was a little bit more scary. It was going in an up and down motion, and the same with my fish tank water as well. And those are the kind of earthquakes here in Taiwan you really need to pay attention to. The ones that have more of an up and down motion instead of a side to side motion. But there wasn't too much damage. I think the most substantial damage was on the National Expressway number 2, where part of the mountain was a landslide and it just covered part of the National Expressway. There were some 3 people that were injured. And they're still actually removing the debris at this very moment as we record the show to clear that expressway. But it was rather odd because, like I said before, people think, oh, it's 6.6. Well, that's strong, right? Well, there's been some stronger ones here in Taipei, but we get these earthquakes all the time. And most people's reaction is like, oh, there was just another earthquake. And then they kind of move on. But somebody was asking about that picture. Yes, it was the National Expressway. And they said, is there a place where they can find out more about the earthquakes that happen here in Taiwan all the time? Well, yes, there is. And it's a fascinating website. It's run by the Central Weather Bureau. And the URL is www.cwb.gov.tw. TW, and I'll post that link, by the way, on my Facebook page. Just go there, click on English, and you'll find out all the information about every earthquake that we get during the week and day, and it's updated in real time. So if there's an earthquake, 10 seconds later, it's up there on the website. And, you know, we're now coming up to typhoon season, which is another very exciting time here. And the website also has satellite maps, usually during typhoon season, showing the path of the storm. So do check it out. It is quite interesting. Anyway, enough about this doom and gloom about natural disasters, because this is the Happy Station Show. We want to keep things happy. And coming up very soon on the show, we have a number of special guests. Yes, one of them will be running a teaser for later on in the show. And also, I'm going to be joined by a shortwave listener, but not just an ordinary shortwave listener, because he is 25 years old. Ah, yes, I can picture some people right now, silence, going, what? A shortwave listener who's 25 years old? Yes, there are, you know, quite a few of them out there. But Chris is also involved in a very interesting project. So stay tuned, because we'll tell you about that in a little bit. Now, one of our listeners, Alexandra Gruba, who is actually from Germany but now lives in the United Kingdom, made a comment to me recently on Facebook. She said, you don't play much modern music on the show, maybe because you don't like it. No, I disagree with that, because I actually do. Some of it I happen to enjoy very, very much. The only reason why I don't like playing it on the show, because, well, you can hear it almost anywhere, right? But I'm going to make a little bit of an exception today, because it is a band that I happen to love, and I've seen them perform a number of times in concert. The band is called Radiohead, and the song is a great title. It's a great title. You know, listen to this, right? Okay. Packed like sardines in a crushed tin box. Now, that doesn't exactly roll off the tongue easily, does it? Here's Radiohead, packed like sardines in a crushed tin box, on the International Happy Station. Thank you. Packed Like Sardines in a Crushed Tin Box, Radiohead on the International Happy Station. Our website is www.pcjmedia.com. And next month, in May, we're going to be announcing the winners of two prizes that we actually have at the moment. One is a book. It's the autobiography of one of our guests that we had on the show not too long ago, Dick Van Patten. And also a copy of Tom Meyer's CD, Easy Come, Easy Go. To find out the details, just go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the blog. And you can also find the links in the latest news. Some of the new things actually that we've added on the website in the last few days, in the latest news section, is the PCJ radio schedule, which is a six-hour rotation. And to find out more information about it, like I said, go to our website. And it's very easy. You can remember it right now. Happy Station, Stuff File Program, Arts on the Air, and Network Europe Week, Switzerland in Sound with Bob Zanotti, Finally Friday with Neil Hendrickse, and Nash Hollis with the one and only Poet Macquarie. But you can find out all that stuff at our website and also listen to PCJ Radio online. Also, not too long ago, a few of our listeners commented on an interview that we did with Deborah Ray, or I should say Dodie Cowan, who hosted His and Hers on Radio Netherlands for many years. We put a page for her. And if you go to the homepage, you'll see something that says, From Me to You, in brackets, CD by Keith in final stage of production. Now, what is all that about? Well, it's a CD that I am putting together, made up of songs that I recorded in Japan going back to around 2004, including some new recordings as well that I've done for Japanese television for a show that I do once a year in Japan. And we actually have one sample track there that was recorded in the month of November at Avon Studios in Hong Kong. Now, I have to tell you, of course, I'm not a singer, right? I'm not a singer. I think I do a pretty good job carrying the tune, but I'm not a singer or anything like that. And it was just like done for a little bit of fun. But anyway, you can go to our website and download that track for free. Now, speaking of other singers, coming up very soon on the International Happy Station, my special guest is going to be Tom Gable from Germany, who has just worked on his latest CD, which is getting released next month, and he'll be joining us on the show very, very soon with a featured interview. And who is Tom Gable? We'll take a little listen to him right now. Let the good times roll here on the International Happy Station.
Meine Damen und Herren, hat eine brandneue Platte aufgenommen. Sie heißt Tom Gable Introducing Myself. Und aus diesem Album spielt jetzt den Titel Let the Good Times Roll. Hier ist Tom Gable und seine Big Band.
Let the good times roll. Come on, baby, let me thrill your soul. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Roll on and on. Come on, baby, let me hold you tight. Tell me everything is right tonight.
The Good Times Roll. Und meine Band, meine Damen und Herren. Vielen, vielen Dank.
Let the good times roll, Tom Gabel. And Tom will be my special guest here on the International Happy Station very soon. Now, if I asked you the question, what is the average age of the shortwave listener in North America or Western Europe? Some of you would probably go, well, the average age, probably over 50. Now, that, of course, that is probably the case many times over. But there is a young group of shortwave listeners out there. One of them is a regular listener to the Happy Station. His name is Leonardo Santiago, all the way in Venezuela. In fact, he's, I think, 20 or 21. Another one is my special guest on today's show. Joining us now on the line all the way in Tennessee is Chris Freitas. And Chris is a student in Tennessee, but he's also an avid shortwave listener. Now, Chris, you know, I don't know if you've heard this before, but you are not the average age of the regular shortwave listener.
Not at all. I'm 25 years old, which is way below what the average listener of shortwave radio is.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm only 39, and somebody said to me recently, they said, "Oh, you're so young. You're a young kid." So tell me, how did you get interested in shortwave radio to begin with?
Well, when I was in the Boy Scouts, I would regularly get a magazine in the mail called Boy's Life. And in one of those issues, it talked about shortwave radio listening, and it said, listen to the world. You can pick up all these radio stations from halfway across the world, and you can collect QSL cards. And I was like, well, this sounds awesome. And little did I know, I actually had a shortwave radio, but didn't even know about it. Like, I had bought it from, I had a Worldband radio. It was a Sears Worldband radio that I got from a friend for like $25. And I noticed that on the bands it had SW on it, and I immediately assumed, hey, that's shortwave. So I did some research on the internet, whatever internet at the time that we had, because this was back in 96, so internet was pretty slow. But I managed to find out a bit of information from the local library, and whatever information I got, I tried tuning into different stations and also just DXing my way through the radio dial, and picked up several radio stations. And that's how I started. That's how I got hooked on it, and I've been listening ever since.
Now, for shortwave listening, I mean, what are the kind of things that you enjoy tuning into? Do you mainly tune in, for example, I mean, if I use myself as an example, like in the mornings, my regular listening is The Voice of America for about 1 hour, and then to Radio Japan, and then I begin my day, and then maybe in the evening I'll listen to Radio Japan again or BBC World Service. Is this the kind of listening that you do?
Pretty much. I would pretty much listen to a station for about an hour, then tune into another station. For instance, at 7 o'clock here in Memphis or midnight UTC, I would tune in to maybe China Radio International for about an hour. And then when next hour comes around, I would tune in to maybe the VOA or Swiss or Radio Sweden or Havana, Cuba. And then after that, I would listen at 0200, I'll listen to Radio Taiwan International. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the only station I'll listen to on an almost daily basis. All the other times, I'll switch them up every now and then to hear something different. But I generally listen at night because it's best at night. And maybe early in the morning when I'm getting ready for class, I'll maybe tune into China Radio, or even now to Radio Australia, because now I'm be able to hear that pretty loud and clear now that it's getting better for shortwave listening.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Radio Australia, because you're on my Facebook page, and when you mentioned that, the funny thing is I remember maybe more than 20 years ago, I was younger than you, I was maybe like 16, this is like 1986, and the frequency for Radio Australia was exactly the same frequency, 9580 kilohertz, and I remember the booming signal that they had into the eastern part of Canada. Now, even though that signal was not being beamed there, of course, this is something that people who listen to shortwave know. You can have a signal being beamed to one area of the world, but then it is loud and clear, possibly, depending on propagation conditions, in another part of the world.
Yeah, and I was somewhat surprised to be able to hear it. Other times of the year, especially during the summer, it was kind of hard to hear Radio Australia, but when I tuned in a few days ago, I was like, wow, this is loud and clear. Pretty much, like, it's really close by. I was impressed.
Now, something else that's interesting is that you're also involved in radio itself. Did this come about from listening to shortwave, or was this something that you even had in mind before you came across shortwave radio?
Well, it's kind of both ways. Before I started listening to shortwave, I kind of wanted to be a TV weatherman. Some way or another, wanted to be on the air. But
looking at today's high front, snow coming up from Florida, and rain coming from the Sahara Desert. Yeah, perfect weather forecasting. You know, yeah. A friend of mine told me, he said, the most hated people in radio or television is usually the weatherman or the weatherwoman, because it doesn't matter. You can say, so we have sun coming up in 3 days, and if it's raining, people go, oh, that damn weather guy didn't get it right again.
Yeah, and that's kind of the reason why I decided not to go into meteorology. That and the fact that it also has to deal with a lot of math, and I'm not really good with math, so
join the club.
I didn't want to see that as a necessary evil. I just think it's evil, period. So I just stayed away from math, and I guess I lost interest in meteorology as a career. But when I started listening to shortwave radio and just radio in general, I was, you know, thinking maybe someday I should be on the radio. This would be really awesome. People hear my voice over the air. And generally, I am not a very outgoing personality, but I was attracted to radio. And so when I came to the University of Memphis, I was looking for radio as a major or broadcasting as a major. And lo and behold, they had it. Took several courses while they still had broadcasting courses, and pretty much finished all of those, but they no longer have that broadcasting concentration at the University of Memphis due to budget cuts and the death of one of the advisors, Dr. Robert McDowell, and he had passed away about a year ago. So once he passed away, there wasn't anyone that they can fulfill that position. And so with the budget cuts and the loss of the advisor, they couldn't really support the broadcast concentration, so they had to drop it last year. And thankfully I finished all my classes, so I'll be one of the few students from the University of Memphis that'll be graduating with a broadcast degree. And I'm very thankful for that.
But at the same time, you're also getting some practical experience, correct?
Absolutely. Even though we don't have that broadcast concentration, we still have a radio station on campus, which is WUMR or U92 FM, the Jazz Lover.
And what kind of programming are you doing on the station?
Basically DJing, and we play on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our main format is jazz, but we also play sports. We'll have some programs that may be devoted to musicians locally or nationally or even internationally that are somewhat related to jazz. Mm-hmm. And just a wide variety of programming that that is related to jazz, but pretty much we mostly just play jazz music, which is fine, because when I first started coming into WMR, I had no knowledge of jazz, but now I have some of a knowledge of it, so It's been a learning experience, to say the least.
And, you know, getting back to shortwave radio for a moment, I mean, you started listening only in the last few years, so you probably wouldn't remember or how it sounded even, let's say, 15 years ago, when if you tuned on a shortwave dial to pick up broadcasters from Europe or anywhere, it was actually rather easy, and there was a lot of programming. When you've been, let's say, on the internet and finding out what the shortwave dial was even like 10 years ago, what is your impression now?
I really miss some of the shortwave stations that are no longer broadcasting on that dial, because within 10 short years, the voices that were once there when I first tuned in are silent. Mm-hmm. BBC doesn't broadcast a shortwave to North America anymore. Radio Netherlands just recently ended their broadcast a year ago. Let's see, Deutsche Welle no longer broadcast to the Americas, but I can still hear them on shortwave, but only the West African transmissions. But they weren't as... it has changed dramatically, not just in the shortage of stations, but also just the format of how some of these stations have changed. I remember when I first tuned into the BBC, not only did they have news, but they had even a play of the week on the weekends. I really liked tuning in. I thought this was reminiscent of the old school radio, of the golden age of radio in the late 20s and 30s, but when they ended that, it was kind of depressing. And now they're just all news, and some of these stations are slowly but surely are turning to an all news format. Not that that's totally bad. I mean, people need to be informed, but at the same time, I think they maybe need some variety in their programming. Just switch it up every now and then, because people can just get an overload of information.
I mean, there's only so much information that you can repeat over and over and over, and it doesn't matter from what source it's coming from. I mean, I sort of feel fortunate that here in the Asia, in Asia where I live, when I tune to the shortwave dials, it's literally like listening to the shortwave dials that I used to do listening in Canada in the early 1990s and 1980s. Because BBC World Service on Sundays, here I can still hear Play of the Week. It's a little bit different because they do co-productions now with, let's say, the ABC in Australia or the CBC in Canada, but they're still running radio plays on, I think it's like Sundays at 6 p.m. local time, and Radio Nederland and Radio Deutsche Welle are still on shortwave. I mean, the dial here is just as cluttered as it was in the 1980s when I used to do more shortwave listening in Canada. Now, you're also doing something rather interesting now, which is called Shortwave Weekly.
Yeah, this is in part with a class assignment that I was given, and my professor actually suggested I do something podcast related, since I have some experience in radio, and I have a knowledge of shortwave, which she knew from all the papers I've wrote. I've had this professor in several classes, so she knows my interest in shortwave. But as part of this final project, we're supposed to use some sort of new media, being the internet and podcasting, and I figured, why not do something on shortwave? So a few weeks ago, I started the first podcast about shortwave radio, and some people asked me some questions. My friend Terry Jones from school was somewhat interested in shortwave, and now she's got a shortwave receiver, which is, I think, really awesome that I kind of helped get someone interested, that a friend of mine that I know. And it's interesting to see over the past few weeks that the audience, even though it's small for internet or small in general, it's slowly growing. I started off with like maybe 5 subscribers. Now I have about 25 subscribers to the podcast, at least. And I got an email recently. I guess maybe he's also one of the listeners, and he was telling me, "Oh, I'm interested in shortwave, and can you share with me any contact information? I would like to talk to you more about shortwave and stuff." I was like, "That's awesome." And all of this is from a project, and I would like to keep it going as much as I can, as much as even past the project time, and just try to keep it running as much as possible.
So if somebody right now wants to tune into Shortwave Weekly, where can they go?
They can go to different places. The blog site which I host the MP3s, or rather, that links up to the MP3s I host on archive.org, the main site is shortwaveweekly.blogspot.com, and you can subscribe to the RSS feed through there. Or if you have iTunes, you can type it under the search bar on iTunes, Shortwave Weekly, and click subscribe. You could also do that. Also, have added the page, as you may know, Shortwave Weekly to Facebook. So anybody that's interested in Shortwave can type in Shortwave Weekly and join in the group. Several people have posted photos. I posted a few videos of some Shortwave stations I found by listening in. And there are several discussions that open up in case anybody's wants to open up any discussions about shortwave, radio, ham radio, whatever their liking is.
Chris, thank you very much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. It's been a pleasure.
Hello, this is Carl Blair speaking from the PCJ Media Happy Station Studios in Taipei, Taiwan. I've come this distance all the way from the center of North America to talk about KDXRadio.com, one of many worldwide carriers of the Happy Station show. I almost didn't make it here because of that Eurostar incident, and it's a shame, but I've got to turn around and leave right away because my reservation is only good for 30 seconds.
Hi, my name's Colin Newell, and I'm the editor and creator of DXR.ca. Since the mid-90s, DXR.ca has been the go-to website for timely resources for the DXR, SWL, and broadcast listener. If you're looking for unbiased reviews of the most modern receivers and antennas, or are interested in participating in some of the more lively online forums all about radio, then come on by. DXR.ca, a world band radio website.
Once again, the URL for DXR.ca is just that, DXR.ca. You're listening to the International Happy Station, and I'm kind of suffering at the moment. I just got another cold, and this past week, just before recording this week's show, I was coughing literally nonstop, and I was sort of worried that I wouldn't be able to make it, and we would have to run an emergency show. As Tom used to say, a show that runs in case I get hit by a cow. but luckily, that didn't happen. So it's sort of the voice sort of has come back. But I still need to finish off because it's sort of fading very, very fast. Anyway, check us out online, www.pcjmedia.com. Now, not too long ago, I had a chance to interview somebody that was a childhood idol. I started watching him probably when I was like 5 or 6, 7 years old, around that age. And it was something that impacted me because all the songs from this popular TV show that he was on, I still remember. Now, let me name some songs to see if they, you know, ring a bell. There was I Love Trash. Yes, I love Trash, sung by a green kind of monster that lived in a garbage can. There was another song called C is for Cookie. Yes, C is for Cookie, yes. And there was another song from this very popular TV show about a boy taking a bath, singing about a little rubber ducky. And then, of course, there was something about it's not easy being green. And then there was another song about the people in their neighborhood, people in your neighborhood. And it sort of went like, these are the people in your neighborhood. You know, and if you don't know what show I'm talking about, then, well, you don't know much about popular culture. The show, of course, is Sesame Street, which debuted on public television way back in 1969. And today, in 2010, they are still going strong. The character from that show is one of the original cast members who's still with the show, Bob McGrath. Now, Bob has a very interesting history because most people would know that he was with Sesame Street. But there's two other aspects of his career that people may know a little bit of, especially if they watched television in the early 1960s. He was part of the Mitch Miller gang, and he became the solo artist on Sing Along with Mitch. And then when the show was canceled from that point until Sesame Street, he had another career, which most Americans probably wouldn't know about at all, and that was a singing career in Japan. Yes, he was very popular in Japan, and he also recorded in Japanese. Well, my special guest coming up in about 2 weeks' time here on the International Happy Station is the one and only Bob McGrath. And we're going to bring you now a little sample of that interview, and then take a listen to one of his songs that he recorded in Japan many years ago called On a Windy Hill. The question, actually, that he answers was a question that I thought of. I said, it's amazing how songs from Sesame Street in some ways have become part of the American songbook. And this is how he responded.
They're more than the American songbook. And I'll tell you one quick little anecdote, which I found funny. My wife and I are starting to travel as much as we can. Two or three years ago, we did a trip to Budapest and Prague and a quick three-day down to Venice because neither of us had been there together. Even we'd been there alone. And we're on the what they call the rapidos, the canal boats that go around Rapallo, Rapido something. And we were living in a little island off of Venice because everything was booked up on the mainland. And there was an English couple there, probably in their 50s or something like that. And the lady we got talking, she recognized me, and she said, talking about the show, and she said, you know, my favorite song in the whole world is Rubber Ducky. And I said, really? And she said, yes. And she said, I know every word of that song, and I haven't, you know, I grew up with it. And she said, I'd really like to sing it with you. And I said, right here? You know, the boat was jammed, packed. We were out in the deck. And she said, yes, I would. And I said, well, let's move up to the front where we have a little more space. I thought it felt a little silly, you know, with 10 people scrunching around like in a subway singing Rubber Ducky. So we moved up to the front of the boat and going down under the canal and under the bridges, there we were singing Rubber Ducky. And I thought, this is the last place in the world I ever thought I'd be singing Rubber Ducky on cruising down the Venetian Canal. But it's true. The show is very, very embedded in almost any child that really watched it regularly. I don't know if it'll have the same effect now as it did those first 25, 30, 35 years because it's a rather different show now. Our target audience is much, much younger than it was in the first 25, 30 years before there were 50 other children's television shows. We captured children for a much longer period of time. They started at probably 2 or 2.5. And we had kids until they were 5, 6, sometimes 7 or 8 if they had younger siblings in their family. Now the show is geared basically about 0 to 3 or 3.5. And by that time, they're off watching Dora the Explorer or any number of the 50 other shows out there. But we get a lot of, and I don't know if this, I suppose this happens to other cast members, but over the years, this just happened 2 days ago. I was in church with my daughter, and she had a friend there who was 40-ish, and I mean, she took one look at me, and her eyes just started filling up and getting very, very emotional, and it's happened where women can't stop sobbing. And And what it is, it has very little to do with me, except it just it brings back a flood of wonderful memories of when they were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And someone said, you know, the show, the culture of the show really is embedded in just millions and millions of children who are now adults and they're in their 30s and 40s.
Kimi no hitomi ga nurete chisana koi o shita kaze no yureteru oka de sasayaki atta ne kimi no kata o daite aruku osoi michi ni yurelu itoshi kage o mitsumete iru to mazukashi so ni chisana koi wa utsumuite me o tojita dakara nani mo ienakatta kaze yo oshiete hoshi chisana koi o doko e kaze yo hakonde itta oshiete hoshi. Uchizuke dake o nokoshite itta Urokami no ano hito wa doko ni iru ka kite mitai Kaze yo omae dake ga chisana koi no himitsu o kaze yo omae dake ga mitsumete ita no sa mitsumete ita no sa.
Bob McGrath on a windy hill, singing, of course, in Japanese, and Bob will be my special guest in about 2 weeks' time here on the International Happy Station. Well, my throat is giving me a few problems, so I thought instead of talking for the next few minutes, we'd take a listen to another piece of music. Here's Elvis Presley and Suspicious Minds on the International Happy Station.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? Suspicious minds, and we can build our dreams on suspicious minds. So if an old friend I know stops by to say hello, would I still see suspicion in your eyes? But here we go again.
suspicious mind. Don't let a good thing die. When, honey, you know I have never lied to you.
Elvis Presley, Suspicious Minds. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the International Happy Station Show. Once again, our URL for the website is www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. And while you're at the website, you can also listen to PCJ Radio Online. And just to remind you, once again, we still have a book to give away and a CD, and so go ahead to the website and enter. And also, if you want to have a sample of one of the songs that I recorded back in November, you can download it free of charge at the website. Okay, I have to leave you right now and go and take care of my voice and take care of some other things that I need to do, then take some medicine and then go to bed. So on behalf of our production assistant, Johan Backer, our technician, Kevin Lee, and everyone that has contacted us through Facebook and email and everything else, I'm Keith Powell, all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.